Joshua chapter 2. That's where we're going to be this evening. Last Sunday, we looked at Joshua chapter 1. We saw how we saw the Lord's commandment to Joshua, and that is arise and go into the land. We saw the Lord's promise to Joshua, wherever the sole of their feet would tread, he would give them that land. And also, we saw the Lord's strategy for Joshua, and that was God wanted Joshua and the people to delight in him, and then he will fight the battles for them. Now, after receiving this, we're told that Joshua gathered the people together and he said this to them. This is in chapter 1, verse 11. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And upon reading that, let's start our service in a word of prayer. Father, we put before you now your word, and we acknowledge it is your word, and it's your record of your dealings with these people and how they responded to your word. And Lord, I do pray that we may learn from this, learn about you, learn about ourselves, learn how we can please you. And I do pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that Joshua commanded the people that they were going to, needed to get ready, and they were going to go into the land in 3 days' time. Now, during the 3 days, Joshua decided to do some scouting of the land, particularly of Jericho. And chapter 2 tells us of this time, and so that's what we're going to be looking at tonight, and in particularly Rahab, which we have as the main person here in chapter 2. And so we see in verses 1 to 3 how the spies are sent out. Let me read verse 1. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. So Joshua sent 2 spies. I'm not sure if he was meant to do this. We're not told that God told him to send out spies, but he did it nonetheless. You would think he'd be a little bit nervous about sending out spies after what took place 40 years ago when the spies were sent out. Although I do find it interesting that he only sent two spies this time rather than 12. Maybe he just found 2 good ones and he sent them and left the other 10 at home. Yet we're told that they went into Jericho and they went and lodged in Rahab, the harlot's house. Now we shouldn't doubt for one moment the moral conduct of these 2 spies. God's blessing would never have been upon them if they were acting untoward. And some may wonder why they lodged in a harlot's house. I suspect they went there thinking that would be the least strangest place for strangers to be going. But from the very beginning of this story, we see the sovereign hand of God at work. Out of all the city of Jericho, out of all the people there, there was one who did believe. We understand that from James, the Epistle James that we're going through, and that one person was Rahab. And I don't believe it's a coincidence that these spies just so happened to arrive at her door and lodge in her house. Even though these spies weren't aware at the time, the Lord knew full well Rahab was very different to everybody else. And so he made sure that they landed there at her house. You know, we also see at the very beginning of this story the extent of God's wonderful grace. He shows us that his grace is not limited. No one is too evil to forgive and cleanse. All who place their faith in him can be forgiven. You know, Rahab was a sinner by birth. She was also from a sinful nation. She also was a sinner by practice and occupation, and she would have even been considered a sinful woman to those in Jericho, but God saw her faith and showed mercy to her and sent these men to her house. Well, we discover that these men hadn't been there very long before news got back to the king. It says there in verse 2, "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country." Now, this shows me that either these spies weren't very sneaky and they stood out like a sore thumb, or the city of Jericho's intelligence system was very good, because they didn't have surveillance cameras at the gate, they didn't have mobile phones or anything like that, yet the king knew that there were two spies come into Jericho. He knew where they were from, he knew what they were doing, and he even knew where they went and lodged. That is a very good intelligence. I think Victoria could do with this type of tracking at the moment, I think. But they certainly knew what was going on. And so we read there, verse 3, "And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country." And so the king sends his men to Rahab and tells her that he knows the spies are there and he wants her to hand them over to him. So this is the big test for Rahab. What is she going to do? Hear the knock on the door or whatever it is, there's soldiers there. The king knows that there are spies from Israel spying out the land. He knows they're at your place. Hand them over. What does she do? We read from verse 4 onwards, Rahab's secret. It says, "And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them." But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them after the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And so what did she do? She was able to hide the spies under the stalks of flax. Now, if I was a soldier and I was looking for spies, I think that would be a pretty obvious place to look. So I don't know if they were really bad lookers in regards to the soldiers, or God just miraculously made it so that they couldn't be seen, but they didn't find them. Now, there's no doubt that Rahab told a lie, right? And I don't know, she certainly wasn't a righteous person at this stage. I'm not exactly sure how you would have meant to have responded in that regard. She told a lie. She told the soldiers, yes, they were here, but I don't know where they're from and where they've gone, but they've gone, so you need to go looking for them. But the more important thing that we need to take notice here is that when the soldiers came to her door looking for the spies, she had a choice to make. Who did she fear more? Who was she going to trust more? Did she fear the soldiers and the king and what would happen if they found the spies there? And so give them up and hide behind the walls of Jericho and trust those walls against Jehovah? Or would she trust would she fear God and trust him to protect her? She had a choice to make. And here we start to see the faith of Rahab revealed in her actions. It affected how she responded at this time. Now, sure, she certainly wasn't perfect. She wasn't living perfect. She didn't act perfect. But she had chosen to trust God, the God of Israel, and fear him more than fearing the king and what he would do if he found out. And so she chose the Jehovah God to protect her rather than the walls of Jericho. That's a very important thing to take note of, because that was the time where she had to make that choice. And what we see once the soldiers have left, we see her explain to these spies the condition of her heart and what she thought, and also the condition of the heart of the people there in Jericho. And here, what we discover is, as we read on, that God had gone before Israel and had already done the work for them. God's mighty works had already convinced the sinful woman of Jehovah's greatness and the need for his mercy, as well as... That's very distracting. Sorry. And also cause the unbelieving ones at Jericho to fear Jehovah. We see that God had already been at work. It says there at verse 9, "And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you." And so she said to the spies, "I know," not "I think," "I know God has given you the land." And she says, "The terror upon your God has fallen upon the people of Jericho." Now, why were the people terrified? How did they know how great Jehovah was? Well, she explains it there in verse 10. She says, For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. And so we discover here that she had heard how Jehovah had dried up the water of the Red Sea and destroyed the chariots and the army of Egypt at that time. Now remember, that took place around 40 years ago. She had heard about this. And then she also says how we heard how recently, and this would have been at the end of the 40 years of walking in the wilderness, how they had destroyed the kings and their people of the Amorites on the other side, Jordan. And so this city had heard about Jehovah's power for over 40 years, and it was having a lasting effect, a bad effect on the people there in Jericho. And I think it's good to note that Rahab probably wasn't even born when this took place at the Red Sea. 40 years had gone by. I don't know how old she was. If she was alive, she would have been just very young. So this is something she was told. This is something she heard from somebody else that happened way over. There weren't pictures of it, yet she heard it and she believed it. And she acknowledged the lordship and sovereignty of Jehovah, because she said, "For Jehovah your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." And so she understood the sovereignty of God and believed this. And so we see from what Rahab said, that God had been at work well before Israel had even approached the city of Jericho. And I think that's something important to remember when you meet people for the first time. You know, when you go to a job for the first time, when you meet people through various circumstances, we can be sure, for most of them, if not all, that God has already been at work in them. They have heard of God's greatness It might have been through going to Sunday school when they were young or youth group. It might have been from having a saved uncle or a saved friend. It might be through receiving a little tract and they've read that and they have either been hardened to the Word of God and the Lord Himself, or they have been softened and they want to know more. And just because this is the first time you're meeting them, that doesn't mean this is the first time God has ever been at work in them. God has known them from eternity past, and He's been at work revealing Himself through creation, through His people, and through His Word. And they've either been hardening their heart, or rebelling, or seeking the truth. And just as He led these spies to this sinner, who had heard and believed and was soft to hearing this good news, God is just as sovereign to be able to lead us to those people that have heard the word and are soft and wanting to hear more. And so we should be looking for the opportunities to be able to speak and to say what we need to be able to say so God can continue to do His work in them. And for Rahab, instead of fighting against God by betraying His servants and hiding behind the city walls in fear like everyone else, the Lord gave her an opportunity to be able to be saved. I don't just believe saved physically from the destruction of Jericho, but saved within her soul. And the Lord saw her faith and loved it. We read in verse 12, "Now therefore I pray you," this is Rahab speaking, "swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sister and all the sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And the men answered her, "Our lives for your lives, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, "Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way." Verse 17, "And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath, which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." Verse 19, "And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." And so we read here that she lowers these men down to safety by a scarlet cord, a red cord. And she is told to put that red cord around the window, and when they come, they'll see that's her house, and those within will be saved and spared. And in that red cord, that scarlet cord, we have a wonderful picture of, I believe, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ protecting Rahab. Those in that room will be saved, just like those Israelites who had the blood on the doorpost. If they remained in that house, they would be spared, and the angel of death would pass over. Now, a beautiful picture here of a similar thing of what the Lord Jesus Christ would do for us. And so this was going to protect her from God's judgment to come. Now, after the spies were let loose and or freed, and they went and hid themselves, they went back and they told Joshua the good news. And it says in verse 23, "So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." And so this is exciting for them. And we read the end of the story of this in chapter 6. In chapter 6 we see the end of the story for Rahab. I'd like to read chapter 6 verses 23 to 25. It's worth noting. "And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, and ox and sheep and ass, with the edge of the sword. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house, and bring out thence the woman, and all that she hath, as ye swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in, and brought out Rahab, and a father, and a mother, and a brethren, and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred, and left them without the camp of Israel. And they burnt the city with fire, and all that was therein, only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." And so it wasn't just Rahab that was saved. Anyone in that room, that scarlet cord was a sign that they wouldn't have to suffer God's judgment. And a father, a mother, and a brethren, and anyone else. It's like, how many people can we squash into this room? Come in, and you'll be saved. And this was a beautiful picture of the salvation that we can enjoy in the New Testament. You know, as New Testament believers, there are some lovely things that we can learn from Rahab. She's mentioned twice in the New Testament. She's firstly mentioned in that list of men and women of faith. In Hebrews 11:31, it says, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not." See, there are others that didn't believe. She believed when she had received the spies with peace. Then in a very similar way, she's mentioned in James, as we've been looking at in the mornings. It says in chapter 2, verse 25, "Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way?" And so the Holy Spirit reveals to us that Rahab was a woman of faith. And this faith was seen with her actions. And so there were two key words that are mentioned about Rahab in the New Testament: faith and works. She had them both. They went together, as James explains. Her faith, what did Rahab believe? Well, when she heard what the God of Israel, Jehovah, had done to Egypt, and how he parted the Red Sea, allowed them to get through and close them off, when she had heard what he had done, she believed that he was the true God of heaven and earth. She believed that there was a judgment coming upon her city, and she believed that only Jehovah could save her. So this is what she believed. But we see from James and the book of Hebrews that this faith produced works. There were actions that proved her faith. And what actions shows us that she trusted the Lord? Well, when she heard that knock on the door, she protected the spies. That's the first thing. She cared for God's people rather than giving them up. She put that scarlet cord around, believing that God would not punish her like the rest of the city. She trusted Jehovah rather than her king and the walls of Jericho. And she stayed in that house. You know, that would have been a big thing. Remember, the walls of Jericho fell. So they're there. They're hearing all the walls fall down, but she was told, I need to stay in this room where this scarlet cord is. That's the only way to be saved. You go out and you're dead. And they stayed there, even though the walls were falling around. Another work is, she told others how to be saved. We're told that her mum and dad were there. She must have gone and told them. Her brethren were there. Others were there. She was saying, this is how you can escape. She cared enough to tell them how to be saved from the judgment to come. And you know, when you look at Rahab, you can realize that there is so much that we have in common with her. We are born sinners, just like she was. We are Gentiles. And so we are sinners by our Gentile nations. And we are sinners by nature as well and by practice. Yet we've admitted that we're sinners and we need help from the judgment to come. We know there's a judgment to come. And we have believed the only way that we can be saved from the judgment to come is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just like Rahab, we have had faith in the gospel news that God has declared to us. But for our faith to be true, there needs to be faith plus works. It needs to have actions attached to it. And I do believe that we see the type of actions that we ought to have through the life of Rahab. You see, we see that she had loyalty to the Lord and his people. And the New Testament tells us, if we are truly the children of God, we have loyalty to the Lord and his people where there is love for one another. And so that needs to be seen if you want to be sure that you are truly born again. We see that when the walls were falling down around Rahab, she stayed within that room where the scarlet cord was. She remained in that room. And that's another action that should be seen for someone who is truly saved, and that is when things are going wrong, when the walls seem to be falling, we still remain in Christ and we trust what he says. We don't forsake him and get angry. And then also we should be willing to tell others and want to tell others how they can escape the judgment to come. Just like Rahab did. These are actions that should be seen from those who are truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see them in your life? Is there loyalty to the Lord above all and to his people? When the storms of life come, do you still remain in Christ and cling to him? And you want to tell others about the Lord as well. I trust these same things that were found in Rahab are found in you as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the life of Rahab. And Lord, you don't tell us what took place afterwards and what she the life she lived, but we see that she lived with your people and enjoyed that mercy and grace. We thank you for that. And I pray that you would allow us to enjoy these things as well. And regardless of our upbringing, regardless of our past, we can enjoy cleansing and forgiveness, escape the wrath to come, and enjoy your presence as we walk with you. And we thank you that we can do this in Jesus' name. Amen.